Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. This podcast is sponsored by Montana's great state parks. Visit fwp.mt.gov.
Searching for adventure that supports local community, boosts the economy, and gets you outside? Get away to one of Montana's 55 state parks. For events, park guidelines, and more, visit fwp.mt.gov/stateparks. See you out there.
All right, they've been through it a little bit. Since 2019, they opened the doors officially, and it has grown dramatically since then as well, to the point where they sought a conditional use permit, which is now in front of the city council. They've been operating for a while under it. The motion is to amend or revoke that nonprofit's conditional use permit. We have Tanya Horn here, who is the co-founder and executive director of the Flathead Warming Center. Good morning, Tanya. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on here, too. I mean, I kind of set this up in a number of different ways. One of them is that the community understands there's a need to address homelessness, but the methods of accomplishing that may be rather difficult, or I guess it's hard to get people on the same page for that. Why don't you just start wherever you want to start in telling the story?
No, absolutely. You know, there are impacts of homelessness on all communities, not just the Flathead, but all across Montana and all across the United States. We're the third largest overall increase in the nation in homelessness. That's a 45% increase from 2022 to 2023. Homelessness and the impacts of homelessness is affecting everywhere. And it's a real struggle for folks. It's a real struggle for the folks who are experiencing homelessness, but also for the communities that are experiencing that impact. And it's all how we look at it and how we come together for solutions. And that's what the Warming Center is about. From the very beginning, we've been about collaboration. We've been about trying to bring people together to come up with solutions. The Warming Center is just a part of the solution in our community. And unfortunately, right now, from our perspective, it feels like we are being held accountable for all the impacts of homelessness in our community. And we definitely want to continue to be a part of that solution, and lots of people in our community depend on us.
And that's part of the background as well for this discussion is that people are witnessing homelessness in new ways. And we see a lot of videos, and I read some stories feeding into this. Half the homeless population lives in our urban areas. I think almost half of that is in New York and Los Angeles. But there's a rise in the visibility of homelessness and the numbers, obviously, too. So how are you walking through this with the community?
Collaboration, collaboration, collaboration. And that has not been something new for the Warming Center. Anyone that has followed our story has seen how we have worked really hard to collaborate with our city officials, with neighbors, with the whole community, and having the homeless be a part of that collaborative effort. You know, we say homeless, but there's a homeless community within the homeless. And it's important that they have a seat at the table for solutions. And it's important that we don't take all homelessness and group them all in together. Because what's happened is there could be some bad actors out there, mm-hmm. absolutely, in every community. But when we take all of them and group them together, what happens is several things. It rolls out in the way of fear. It causes fear. We have questions. We're not used to seeing this, as you say. We're seeing more of it. So we have a lot of fear. And unfortunately, that fear can turn into anger and in some cases can turn into hate.
As we have followed your story as well, I'm going to kind of back up a little bit and have people catch up on it. 2019, you guys moved into, is when you started. Describe the Warming Center as it exists right now, and maybe go back to 2019 and talk about the progress.
Yes, 2019, we we've started as a grassroots organization. We are 100% community funded, and we've always been community funded and supported by our local community. And in 2019, we moved into a basement temporarily for that winter at Christ Church Episcopal in their basement. From that point, we went to a gym at another church, Faith Lutheran Church in Kalispell, while we were able to purchase an old abandoned garage, mechanics garage, for which we were able to remodel, and we were able to add showers and laundry and a lot of services that people need to gain the tools and resources to get out of homelessness. It's been a growth in the building, but at the same time that that happened, other things happened in our community that we have to look towards. Instead of hearing that false narrative is that if you build it, they'll come. Mm-hmm. We have to look at it, what happened from 2019 in our community till now. The low-income housing opportunities that shut down. Mental health services crumbled during that time. The places where people could go to have a roof over their head, to get the tools and the resources that they need to be well, went away. And so what we're seeing now on the streets are people who are really struggling in crisis. When you and I have a crisis, we're able to play that crisis out under our roof, in the walls of our home. You don't have a home. Oftentimes, crisis is played out in public spaces, and that's alarming to people. And as we have grown the physical building and our services that we provide inside to help people, we've had to turn people away. Last winter, we served 324 individuals. Think about that. If our conditional use permit were to go away, that would be 324 individuals, 50 individuals a night, over 8,000 stays at the warming center. Those people would be on our streets. The warming center is absolutely necessary and calls for everyone to come to the table for collaboration.
You're a low barrier center. Talk about what that means.
Low barrier can cause a lot of fear in people because there's a lot of false narratives around it. It's important that we find out the facts of low barrier. Low barrier means there are barriers that people have to have housing, or there's barrier that people have to even have shelter. And the idea is you can help a person so much better when they are inside than when they're sleeping out in the snow. So take those barriers away. So that can be a person can't come in intoxicated or under the influence of any substance. But it doesn't mean that they can use or have that substance on property mm-hmm. by any means. Low barrier does not mean low standards. It means taking people where they are and observing their behavior. It's their behavior that determines if they can stay or not. And when you're a last resort, like we are here at the Flathead Warming Center, and people understand the expectations to be able to stay at that last resort, people will rise to those expectations of their behavior, but not just that. It gives such opportunities for the relationships to be able to make a true impact in people's lives.
When
our whole community needs that, not just the homeless population.
I've got about a minute left here. When you look around the center from 2019 to what you see today in 2024, what's different?
The services that we've had that we've been able to build up into the warming center is one thing that comes to mind. We bring our community's resources to serve people inside the center. And because we've been able to remodel, we've been able to do that. Our community resources have been absolutely incredible and very impactful on people's lives. But as I look around at maybe our guests, what I see is a lot of mental illness. I see a lot of addictions. I see a lot of people who aren't quite housing ready, and we work really hard to help people to get housing ready. But it all has to start with that low barrier. Low barrier is a very important asset in a continuum of care of homeless services in our community and in every community.
Some will say flat out, it's in my backyard and I don't want it there. Others will say, I see the help, I see the need, I struggle with the impact. And others are out there going, we have to do something. And we start here with one step at a time. We're talking about homelessness in Montana. The backdrop of that is playing out in Kalispell. The Flathead Warming Center has is under, I guess, how would you say, Tanya Horn is with us here, co-founder and executive director. I was going to say under duress, but you're under maybe a microscope as, Tanya, you look to either amend, I think you're looking to amend your nonprofit conditional use permit to remain where you're at right now. We've talked earlier about the low barrier and how that causes fear. One of the advocates had talked about how a lack of mental health services, Tanya, is really evident in our homeless population. Being a low barrier shelter, I imagine you see that there. So I want to talk more about who you see. There's different levels of homelessness. There are people who are going to be temporarily homeless, or there's family homelessness, but the chronic homelessness is another problem. So it must be difficult because you have different solutions, I suppose, to the different levels of homelessness that you see in that same center.
Yes, Tom, let me first jump back to something that you said. I just want to clarify that we are not looking to amend our conditional use permit.
Yeah, what is that? Thank you.
We're fighting for the survival of our conditional use permit.
Okay.
That we have had for 5 years, in which we have met the conditions of that conditional use permit. Right now, the conditional use permit is on the table for possible revocation, and we don't believe that that is a legal step. And so as the Warming Center, we're fighting two different areas that shouldn't be confused. One would be the legal. You know, we have to protect our community's investment. There's the property rights. There's been some finances that have gone into building the Warming Center where it is. And so there's some legal issues and some protections that we're having to fight. But also, there's collaboration. And that's very important. And one can continue without the other. I don't believe that they need to be married together. We have a heart for collaboration, but at the same time, we need to protect that property rights and legal issues that we're working through. But our neighbors' concerns mean a lot to us. We're doing a lot of listening, and it's very important that everyone feel that they're heard and that everyone feel that they have a spot at the table. But when I say everyone, we also need our city to be at the table. Some of the problems and impacts of homelessness that's happening locally are law enforcement issues, not anything that the Flathead Warming Center can address. So it just takes a wide variety of stakeholders to be at the table to come to real solutions here. And that's what we're hoping to do. But, you know, back to your question about the mental illness, that is so very important for people to understand. I think the picture has been painted that people aren't from here and they're being bused in. There's a lot of misconceptions and false narratives and flat out lies that are in our community. But these are our neighbors, and these are our neighbors who are ill, who desperately need our services. I am a social worker. And I've worked in our community here in the Flathead for many years, and 10 of those years was with Western Montana Mental Health. And I get the unfortunate front seat view of seeing people who used to be housed that had that wraparound service care that they needed. And in 2017, with the legislation, a lot of services got cut, especially adult case management, that wraparound service care that could be provided for people. And the unfortunate view that I have from my desk at the Warming Center is seeing people who used to be housed that are now walking through the Warming Center door who are homeless now. They're unhoused, and they're still fighting their severe and disabled mental illness. It can't be, you know, overstated, and it shouldn't be understated just how much we are talking about people who are ill. And that gives us 100%. We're all in to find solutions, because we're talking about people who are really struggling with their illness in our community.
Yeah, and they have certain barriers themselves that prevent good interdiction at times too. Of course, that's what drugs will do with your mind. What misconceptions? You know, when you talk about options, okay, so we close the warming center, there's still going to be this need. How is the city going to deal with that? That's something that they have to put on the table before they can, you know, cut that cord, so to speak. But what you talked about misconceptions, what's reality? When you have neighbors and business owners, like you say, you've been collaborative all along this process, and I know that's true. What can you address, and what is real about some of their concerns?
It all kind of start with communication. We need to understand, you know, what the exact concerns are. We need to understand who has done it. It's very hard for us to hold people accountable if we don't know when something happens and if we don't know if it's a guest of the warming center. You know, I don't believe in all situations, but in some situations, the warming center is, fingers are pointed at the warming center when it may not even be a guest of the warming center. So first getting down to those details, and that calls for communication. We need to know what's happening, and we need to know who's doing it before we have any ability to hold people accountable. And that hasn't happened. We need that communication that people will come to the table, and even beyond when that table is there, will come to the warming center or will call us and tell us if they have an issue, instead of letting issues boil and fester. And what happened in this situation is we went from zero to potential revocation of our conditional use permit. There should have been a lot of dialogue in between there. We were caught off guard. We did not know. And that's what's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that we are having to fight for the survival of our conditional use permit when collaboration could have happened prior to this.
What are those impacts, though, that they're talking about? Is it vandalism? Is it vagrancy? Are people begging on corner streets? What's the reality that you can actually do something about?
Well, the city gave us some assertions, some things that they assert are true that we have defended. The assertions are there's an increase in loitering in the neighborhood. That we said that we wouldn't expand homelessness, and we're being, you know, the assertion is that we have grown homelessness.
Yeah, that's false.
The idea that we would only serve Kalispell and not all of Flathead, which, remember, our name is the Flathead Warming Center. We did not make a promise that we would only serve Kalispell, nor could we, and nor should we. And that there's an increase in calls for law enforcement in the area. All the way to that, we said we would provide transportation. And when we defended the assertions, we provided transportation. And we were able to show that we had transportation. In the assertion that we weren't a good neighbor, and we were able to show the steps that we take to teach our guests to be a good neighbor.
Well, I want to come on.
Those are just some of the assertions.
Thank you for that. This report, again, as I noted from the Interlake, said the council submitted 9 assertions, and then they say that that's coming from the community themselves. And so you have some things to look at and deal with. Have they approached the council or other community members? Because they have to be impressed that you've created this warming center without any government funding, without any additional funding. It came from the pocketbooks of people who want to do something about it in that community. What are the other options out there then? Say that you guys end up closing. Has the council looked at that?
No, I think the council has a pretty hands-off approach. They have even said that. Mm. But I call for something different. I think our community in the Flathead is missing out by not having our city at the table. I have coworkers who work all across the state, and they have their cities at the table to find solutions. And when you have a city that doesn't believe that that's part of their responsibility, you know, the Flathead is definitely, definitely missing out. And another thing that we're doing here is we're focusing so much on where people cannot be That's not where our focus needs to be. Our focus needs to be where people can be, where they can be to get the help that they need. As we continue to do things here locally as far as shut off, close and lock all the bathrooms, then we're going to see those emergencies played out more and more on doorsteps. When we don't provide the resources and services that people need, the crisis just gets worse and worse.
Want to remind you, there's still a lot of fun being had across the state of Montana. I see some folks across Montana Fair. This is how they Montana, by riding these silly rides I would never get in. Plan your summer road trip, though. You can wander through a small town just as well. It's right in your own backyard. Visit MT.com.
Searching for adventure that supports local community, boosts the economy, and gets you outside? Get away to one of Montana's 55 state parks. For events, park guidelines, and more, visit fwp.mt.gov/stateparks. See you out there.
It's a question a lot of communities face. How do we address some of the social issues, some of the problems that we are facing? Homelessness is one of those. A lot of it's driven by mental health issues as well. Some of it is, I should say. We see in Montana a dramatic increase over the past couple of years specifically, and that has a lot to do with the price of housing and, of course, other financial situations there. An increase in homelessness is on the plate for the City Council of Kalispell. The Warming Center is looking to extend their conditional use permit. And, you know, I find this interesting. Tanya Horn with us here, co-founder and also executive director of the Warming Center. I find it interesting that, you didn't get much notice, Tanya, that it was going to be on the plate to revoke or amend or approve with the city council July 16th. They put it off for 60 days. So you're kind of in the middle of that right now. What are you guys doing? Where are we at? You're trying to collaborate and work on some solutions. Made any progress?
The process actually started April 1st when neighbors went to the council to talk about their concerns. So we've been in this for quite a while. And where we are right now within the 60 days is the mayor has identified a mediator that is calling together the different groups to come to the table to come up and to discuss concerns, but to be solution-focused.
What has this done for the community? I mean, it sounds like you have groups that are trying to address a need. Others are talking about an impact. All of that is fair. I think it's all out in the open, which is very good as well. That can... You know, something like this can actually bring a community together over this issue, right?
We hope that it does. Absolutely. That's always our goal. We have a motto at the Warming Center. It's called, we take care of each other in the Flathead. And we at the Flathead can rise out of this as we continue to take care of each other. You know, we can rise out of the false narratives and not believe that, and rise out of the fear as we come to better understanding. And we can rise out and make the community safer for everyone when we all collaborate together.
Will you have something on paper for the city council when they, again, put this on their agenda?
I'm not sure about that. We're just in the beginning stages of still listening and having meetings to try to come to some solutions. Yeah, but doing a lot of listening to our neighbors is very important. They need to feel heard.
True. Have you got any plans to, you know, change things?
Definitely. I mean, we want to be a part of that collaborative effort.
Okay.
Sometimes that's hard to do if the CUP is on the table because of those legal concerns. But I think as the CUP comes off the table, we'll be able to collaborate more and more. And, you know, I just want to say that this is uncertain times for our donors in the Warming Center. They have been told that we're doing something wrong. They have been told that we might not exist. And that creates a big uncertainty. And that hurts donations from a very, very supportive community that we have here in the Flathead. But, you know, I just want to point out, Tom, that we have a lot of confidence. We still have a lot of support, and we have a plan. And We need people to have confidence in the fact that we believe that common sense and solutions will prevail at the end of this.
Well, and I know that, you know, when you're doing work like this, you these kind of things can be discouraging to you as well. But you've faced some of these challenges before, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. And this is not a brand new challenge. To us, it is. But it's a challenge that's happening throughout the United States because we're all dealing with homelessness, with fear. And again, we have way too much focus on where people can't be, where they shouldn't be. And our focus must be, not just here in the Flathead, but everywhere. Where can homeless individuals be
that they
can get the help that they need?
Thank you, Tanya Horn, for the work you do, and good luck to you.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.